Okay, this is going to be a bit of an apocrypha. What I have found out via listening to the samples that I've got in front of me here of how the show went, it seems to have a problem with outsourced music. And it seems to fuck that music up good and proper. And so rather than use their Spotify bullshit, I was trying to bring my own music into it so that way I would have more choices and that sort of thing. And what it seems to be doing is it seems to be auto-leveling. So when it does that, it ruins the music. So I think I'm just gonna do away with this portion of how I do the show. Because whenever I try to do music with this web app, it has a profound way of screwing everything up. So if you'll just bear with me, this will be the last episode with music that sounds like shit. And that's my solemn promise, or at least a solemn promise that I can make at this time. So anyway, this is like I said, this is kind of a pre-bumper thing where I'm warning you ahead of the time that the music for the music intros on this should have been better, but they're not as cool. So the first half was introed with Judas Priest's Hellion and Electric Eye. And then the second half was introed with Ministry's Good Trouble, which is a fantastic tune. And it's actually one of my favorites. So if you get a chance, look them up on Spotify, look them up on any one number of the various web apps or iTunes or whatever. And I promise you won't be disappointed. Take care. Good night. Greetings, you're listening to St. Paul's Unseen Dimension. My name is Tom, and today is Sunday, February 6th. Bringing the show on board with some Judas Priest from the Screaming for Vengeance album, Hellion and Electric Eye, corresponding. This is a pretty appropriate little song. If you've not listened to any Judas Priest in your entire life, these guys were ahead of the curve back in the 1980s. I mean, this is from like 1985, I think, or 80. No. This came out well before Defenders of the Faith, and I think that actually came out in 83. My God. Anyway, how are you doing? Good? I hope you all are having a fantastic evening. Mine is going fairly well. I am looking forward to tomorrow. See, I have to put on my big boy pants and I have to go see the dentist. Why? Because, well, I've learned the hard way that some people, in all their infinite wisdom, do not have your best interests in mind when performing dental care. You see, I had a string of some bad dentists when I was young. starting from about age five. And from there on, the problems were only magnified until about 2011, where I actually had a fantastic dentist. And then he went ahead and retired. So it's like, thanks. Thanks a lot. I liked you. We had a rapport. We talked about scary movies together, like Marathon Man and Little Shop of Horrors, you know, which are the films that I consequently, I watch in preparation for my dental work. Because I figured that anything that isn't those two films is a win, you know, compared to what I was used to as a child and as a younger adult when I was, you know, in the military. And if you have any history with military dentists, then you know that, especially if you're an infantry guy, that nobody gives a fuck about you. Nobody gives a fuck. They fill your head full of fucking lead amalgam and all that other shit. Nobody gives a fuck. You're a guinea pig. You don't have any rights. Nobody cares about you. Shut the fuck up. Get in line. Do your job. And so, as a consequence of that, I still have some well-defined borders and boundaries as to what kind of treatment that I will accept from any human being that has me in a chair at their mercy. Especially when I'm paying them a lot of money to fix a problem that I should probably have never had. But due to our culture, bad parenting, a lack of dental insurance, a lot of things. Yeah. So anyway, I'm not saying that none of this is my fault. It's just that it's a matter of there are some things that were meant to be broken in order to be fixed. And that is unfortunate. In my case, I have to go get, I'm going to have to go get braces. Because, well, it's just the nature of the beast. So that's the grim and forthcoming truth that I'm going to have to live with. I'm going to get braces. Welcome to adolescence 2.0. No, all kidding aside, though, that's going to be my day tomorrow. I'm going to go probably either have a tooth removed or get talked into some kind of root canal thing. I really don't know which way it's going to go. My hope is that whatever solution that they throw at me, it's a good solution and we don't have any arguments and nobody hurts me and I don't have to resort to crying or pretending that I'm being abducted by aliens again. Because nobody needs to see that on a Monday at 7 o'clock. So anyway. No. All things are good. I've discovered a time vampire, Cyberpunk 2077. I can understand why it was a bargain basement game, why nobody plays it, why nobody liked it. Because there are a lot of glitches in it, and it's a fun game. It's kind of interesting. Which brings me to tonight's topic of transhumanism. What the future may or may not hold for humanity, and some of the other things that might come about if we live in a future where we can be augmented. And I had some thoughts about that today. See, I had this idea that I wanted to go through life completely as purely human as possible. You know, you have this idea that you're going to go through life, you're going to live as a human being, and you're going to be unchanged. Well, then, you know, you start getting fillings in your teeth. Excuse me. I've been in the basement all day and been cleaning, and there is a lot of dust down here. A lot of it. Pet dander, you name it, it's down here. And, but then you start getting things like, fillings in your teeth. You get your tonsils taken out. Sometimes you get plastic surgery to fix, a broken nose, or you get dental implants.
And then pretty soon you're starting to piecemeal your body with replacement parts. Like, you know, I know somebody that's got new hip, and I have a friend of mine who got both new hips done at the same time. And I got another friend who has a new knee. And then I have another friend who got both of his knees done at once. And then I've got friends who lost their breasts to breast cancer and got new ones put in. There's all these augmentations that we as human beings, I mean, we got guys that have shoulders rebuilt. We have pro athletes that, you know, get new ankles and people that have plates and other pieces of titanium put in their bodies in order to mend broken things. And so that being said, I mean, I've got a shoulder that's giving me fits right now, all because I slept wrong. What would I give to not be in pain physically, to have no physical ailments whatsoever? Would I want all my joints replaced? That would be a thing. What if you could have your tendons and stuff like that replaced with some kind of, you know, wound, you know, carbon fiber that when hit with electricity would give you 10 times or 20 times your average physical strength? Imagine what you could do as a human being if you had a heart that would never die, or a brain case inside your skull that was impervious to damage, or bones that didn't break, or teeth for that matter that could regenerate, or teeth that never got broken because they were part of an artificial skull. These are things that are on the horizon. They're not just on the horizon, but they're also in the here and now. We have people who have they've had skull injuries, and they've got new titanium plates in their skulls that were 3D printed in order to fix, you know, their cheekbone that was shattered or something. You have all of these amazing things that are happening to people through, you know, accidents or just, you know, volunteerism. So at what point do you stop being a true human being? If you've got a few replacement parts, does that change your humanity? No, I don't think so. I think that, because I've done a lot of pondering on it, especially after playing this game a little bit. And I think the game was meant to, it was meant for thinkers. I think the game was meant to be enjoyed by people who like action and first-person shooters and all that stuff. And I think that that's, you know, that's the case with a lot of video games. But rare is it that you get a video game that makes you contemplate your entire existence or, you know, human existence. What is humanity? What is it to truly be human? Is it the fact that you're just an unaugmented human being? Or is it what lies inside your heart, inside your head? And for me, I think that there's a point where you could get lost in your pursuit of perfection. I think that if I had my opportunity to have augmentation done, it would definitely be joints and bones. For mostly because I wouldn't want something to break, you know, and especially when you get older, you don't. I've already broken my pelvis once. I'm not interested in that again. I've broken other bones, and they, you know, they healed up just fine. I have, you know, I've got cumulative injuries, though. I've got, like, you know, I've got a trick shoulder. I've got a couple other things that, you know, are a little bit aggravating when the weather changes. And mostly because, you know, I broke my pelvis. I jacked some stuff up there. But these are just little things. But I know that as I get older, that these things are either going to correct themselves completely, or they're going to be magnified And that's gonna take away from my quality of life. Which is why I take a ton of supplements every day, and I do what I can to stay healthy. Because I'm looking at how much life do I have left? How much life do I want to live? And lastly, how much of the future do I really want to see and experience? And there's a lot of it that I do want to see and experience. I want to live to be 150, and I want to be 150 comfortable, not 150 toothless, blind, and crying about just please let me die. Like some of these old people that are stuck in these old folks' homes that don't remember who their kids are, their grandkids are, or their great-grandkids for that matter. Aging is difficult. It's tough. It's a tough business. So at what point do you stop being a human being? Is it when you lose your ability to hold someone's hand and to feel their humanity? Because there are a lot of guys out there that have come back from our excursions over in the Middle East who are missing appendages. Imagine talking to some of those guys who probably give a lot of insights to what transhumanism might actually afford. Could you imagine having a prosthetic that would allow you to feel things that could be permanently attached without fear of rejection? It'd be kind of a neat thing to see, especially if it was ran on something with microvoltage. So that way your nerves would basically never know the difference. Because that's really what we're talking about here. When you're talking about the technology that runs the human body, it's microvoltage. You know, it's not like, you know, we don't have like a 12-volt car battery system. We've got all these little tiny microvolts that power all of these little organic systems. Whether it be digestive, autonomic, sympathetic, you know, just our everyday movement. You know, we have all of these little systems that are intertwined and commingled, and they're all based on little tiny, tiny microvolts. Imagine having the ability to run a prosthetic with the least amount of electricity, and yet have the ability to augment that person's body strength tenfold, 20-fold. Could you imagine what you could do with that? More importantly, let's say that you are one of these people that has, you know, you've grown up, you were always invalid, you were frail, and you have the shot at having a tricked out cybernetic body where most of you gets to, you know, get replaced. But the things that are, you know, things that you take for granted, like being able to use the bathroom and all that other stuff and all of that, you know, that stays the same. Well, I mean, as much as it could be. Would you do it? There is a laundry list, I'm sure, of people who would gladly turn their lives around in seconds if they thought they could have normalcy or what is perceived to have a normal life. Would they be any less human if they were 80% machine or machine parts or biosynthetic parts? Would they cease to be human? There's a lot of thought that I've had, especially when it comes right down to it, because I like the idea of a certain amount of immortality. Not just, you know, what you leave behind is immortality, but what if you had the opportunity to capture all of those things that made you you? If you had the ability to soul transference from one body to the next, and you got to be you, would you do it? Absolutely. I think the majority of people would do it. Then there'd be there's going to be a certain amount of people that would be like, no, that's blasphemy. That's evil. That's the devil talking to you. And I'm like, well, you know, maybe. Would you want to cheat death? I certainly would. I have things I would love to be able to do. I would love to see what's outside of this planet. I'd like to live long enough to go to Mars as a tourist I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying it's possible. The idea of having a transhumanist movement, I think, is ridiculous because you're not really ceasing to be human. It's what's on the inside that makes you human. It's what's the exterior is completely irrelevant. Because if you're in a brain jar and your brain jar is just connected to a synthetic body, you're still a human being. You've just changed packaging. That's really all it is. I'm not saying that I would want to live in a brain jar with my eyes sticking out, kind of like RoboCop, you know, RoboCop 2 specifically. That would suck because, you know, I have things that I like about my life as a physical person, a physical being. The idea of being able to create and work in clay and paint and all of these things. Those are things that very tactile gratification. You know, I like touching people. I like, you know, having physical relationships and things like that where you're, you know, involved with people, a hug, a handshake, that sort of thing. You know, those are the things that make you human. I'm not saying you couldn't have those if your prosthetic had the ability to have neural impulses. I'm just saying that at what point do we stop being a human being? Now, if you watch things like Ghost in the Shell, and if you've ever played Cyberpunk 2077 or watched Altered Carbon, or you've seen just, you know, any one number of things that has to do with the future. Blade Runner is a fantastic example. What is the true definition of being human? And I have yet to really find one. And the reason why I just... because I am a human being, and do I really know what defines my parameters of what kind of creature I am? You know, am I a sentient person? I think I am. Am I self-actualizing? Do I have any self-realization? Do I, you know, reflection, that sort of thing? Do I see myself through the eyes of others? Do I see the universe within me and vice versa? Because this dovetails with another ideology that a lot of folks are talking about. What if we're living in a simulation? So there's that too. And from an existential standpoint, then all of those questions that I just asked about, where are the definitions and the ley lines for what being a human being really is? They go right out the window, because if we're living in a dyed-in-the-wool simulation, there's none of us that really could define what human beings really are. Because we don't know that when, you know, the simulation ends, do we wake up on the other side? Are we aliens experiencing a human simulator? Am I some 5-year-old alien creature who's never experienced life outside of his own planet, and his parents are bored, and rather than, you know, pay a babysitter, they just hook him up to a VR simulator for 20 minutes, and I get to live this life of self-discovery over the course of 20 minutes in their time or whatever time. And I'm going to come out of this, and I'll still be this little 5-year-old alien kid. And I'll be like, you would not believe what I got to do on planet Earth, Mom. You are not going to believe what I learned. And then when the swearing starts, that's when they're like, oh no, video games are terrible for children. That's not even talking about, you know, the other problems that come out of that if this is a simulation and we are actually children of an alien species experiencing this. Let's say I'm writing my senior thesis in alien college about, you know, an artist that lived in the 20th century to the 21st century on Earth, who had many interesting life changes and quite a lot of ups and downs, and at the end of it, what am I going to write? What would I write my space thesis about what I learned on planet Earth would be? Well, by and large, the planet was full of idiots. And this guy was probably the smartest idiot of them all that I could find in this simulation. I mean, there's a lot of other smarter idiots. It's just that this is the one that my seven chrono dollars, you know, my Euclidean credits would buy, because my parents are poor. My space parents are poor, and they're aliens. And this is the life that they're not Bill Gates rich. Though that's like the Ivy League college kids. That's what they get to do. They're probably going to be in some kind of galactic bureaucracy or something like that. If this is in fact a simulation, and we're all experiencing this, and like there are some people that are just AI, and then there are people like me who are players, because I'm pretty sure I'm a player, because there's no self-respecting AI that would put this shit out on the internet for other players to hear. Fuck's sake, Jesus Christ. I mean, here's the thing is that, you know, that would be like, wow, that's got to be the most convincing AI I've ever heard before. He not only swears and he sounds like he's a normal person, but he talks about being poor. This is an AI that I can identify with. And then pretty soon, you know, all these poor alien kids are following my lead. They're like, wow, I've got so much to write about when I wake up. Unfortunately, I'm recording this on the web app, which means that in 5 minutes I'm gonna have to stop, and I'm gonna have to come back, which is fine. There's just no. I hate putting in those ads. I think it's stupid, and it just makes you guys go, Christ, he's a sellout. All four or five of you. No, the point that I'm getting at about being human and all of this being what it is, video games are not, they're never going to get so good that you could be fooled by them. We have movies and we have special effects that could fool most people, but to the trained eye that knows how light works and all that other stuff, they will never be good enough. And see, that's the other thing too, is that as a human being, and this is how you know you're a human being, you question your surroundings, you question your environment, you ask the universe for knowledge that you do not have. And if you are not one of those people that participates in life that way, where you're always trying to learn and you're always trying to question and you're always digging deeper for something that might be a nugget of truth, then you're not a human being. And that is the true definition of, at least for me, what being a human being is. We are curious creatures that want to know about the universe, because the more we know about the universe, the more we know about ourselves. And I know that sounds very narcissistic and possibly maybe maladjusted, but the point that I'm getting at is that the more that we know, the more power we have as individuals and as a collective society. Never has a nation stood that was so full of morons that it was capable of defending itself or standing up for itself. Rome had become so corrupt and so willfully ignorant of its history, of its promise, of its capability, of its ingenuity, all of the things that it had done for hundreds of years, that it fell down and was run over by savages. That's the United States. We had 200 years plus, and now we are in decline, which is roughly about the span of each and every civilization that reaches its peak and then is crushed from within, because the power structure at the top had become so corrupt and so willfully ignorant that it allows its citizens to become so complacent and stupid that it invariably will fall apart. So in that regard, and with that predictability, this could very well be a simulation. And I'm just one of many players that decided, rather than watch the fall of Rome, I thought I would watch the fall of the United States, which is kind of the same thing, except it's more technologically friendly. And, you know, we had running water and toilets and all that stuff, as opposed to, you know, fall of Rome, where everything was kind of the same, but a lot different because, you know, there was a lot of weird stuff going on. Or the fall of the Greek Empire, or the Persians, you know, going back to the Hittites, the Etruscans, all of this. I mean, here's the thing, is that you can go clear all the way back, and you see the same thing over and over again. The same cycle, and boom, there it is. But again, I think that that's what really makes us human, is it's a quest for knowledge and realization. That of all of the things that we don't know, there's always going to be more stuff we don't know that we need to learn. And having that intellectual honesty, that's what makes us human. So that's I'm going to go ahead and close out part one. And I'll come back with part two and finish some other thoughts that might actually be interesting. I don't know. And I'm going to be right back. Take care. Okay, we're back. Starting the episode off for the second half with Ministry. One of the best tunes we've ever done. Uncle Al. God, I love this song. It's it puts me in the mood for, you know, civil unrest and all that other good stuff. Especially in light of what's going on in Minneapolis. My God. You know, there's one thing I don't understand. We have these trained professionals, we call police officers and all that other stuff, and you'd think that all of them would have this idea that perhaps we should lay off shooting people. Just for a little while. You know, let things calm down a little bit so that people can get their heads, you know, collected together. And so that way we don't look like a bunch of goddamn savages. I don't know. I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's going on in Minneapolis lately, but there's a guy named Amir Locke, who was a permit to carry holder. Now, this is what I've been reading. This is not something I know for a fact, but by all accounts, Amir Locke, a law-abiding guy, just happened to be in the wrong person's apartment at the wrong time. And they came in, announced themselves as who they were. He didn't actually move until somebody kicked him off the couch. And then, when he tried to get up and the gun, you know, of course he was in low ready and he gets shot over, you know, because the cops didn't give the man the time to react as any person should. Here's the thing, is that you break into my house and you don't have a reason to, oh yeah, it'll come to violence quickly. It'll escalate very quickly because we got criminals that pretend to be cops all the time. Which is why I'm thinking about making a plaque for the outside of my door. Dear law enforcement, I'm a law-abiding citizen. Double check that address you have on your warrant. You know, that sort of thing. You know, hey, this is who I am. This is my business. Here's my phone number. Call me. And, you know, if I'm not down in 2 minutes putting on some clothes or something like that, give me some time to get dressed. I'm an old man. You know, hey. Just give me the moment that I need to do what I have to do, and then we'll talk about these things. As opposed to busting down my door, hurting my animals, or any of that other stuff, and then all of a sudden, it'll be on like fucking Donkey Kong. Then you'll find out, you know, what an angry old man can do. I'm just saying. That's just the thing about the police is that, you know, sometimes they can get caught up in these things and there's a big adrenaline rush and all that other stuff. And sometimes what they're actually doing may actually require that sort of shock and awe scenario. But do your intelligence work. Get your ground level intelligence first. Scout the area. Do your due diligence. Don't just roll up and, you know, go all cowboy. Be stealthy. Be KGB. Be smart. Remember, don't work hard, work smart. And you save a lot of time and money. But I digress. But again, it all goes back to I had some ideas about the simulation that we're living in. Because if we're really living in a simulation, that means all that cybernetic shit that I'm talking about, getting the augments and all that other stuff, those mean nothing. Those are actually augmentations. That's like, here's the thing. I had this thought today while playing Ace Combat 7. If you're not familiar with the game, it's a flying game where you are an airplane pilot and you do aerial combat and you blow stuff up and you kill other people in a game. And you have this thing called the aircraft tree, and you have to buy certain weapons and certain planes and all these other little things, right? I look at all of those things that enhance my gameplay ability, because you have the same thing in like all the Resident Evil stuff and all these other things where you just buy chips and augmentations and things like that, or more tokens or whatever. It's the same goddamn thing. So I'm going to go ahead. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that I can go to a prosthetician, which this is somebody who makes prosthetics, and they said, hey, you know what? Your bones are in good shape, but your joints are not. What we're going to do is we're going to replace those with flexible material that will never deteriorate. Your body won't reject it, and it'll bond just like a real ligament in a joint. And I'm like, yes. That would be great. Now cover my bones in adamantium and we've got a deal. You know, then I would do that. Because I don't want my bones to break and I don't want my joints to go bad. And then I would live a life pain-free once the healing had stopped. No, I was done healing. Unless I was Wolverine. And then it would be like I would never hurt much more than a couple of seconds, because then I would be like healed, done, 15 bullet wounds, all gone. Healed. Don't need to go to the doctor. Don't get sick. I cut myself. It's like silent rage. You know, just like closes on its own. If you've never seen that movie, I guarantee it, folks, Chuck Norris, when he was a young man, beat wholesale ass on a dude that was unkillable. Or so we thought. Anyway. But yeah, that shoots down the whole idea of transhumanism. If we live in a simulation, right, then none of this transhumanist bullshit matters. All the religion stuff, it goes right out the window with it. Philosophy goes out the window with it. You know, then it becomes a matter of, well, why are we all playing this game? Why are we invested in this game? And then I take a step back from that and I realize this game is actually pretty fucking fun, really. I mean, really. I mean, here's the thing. If you think about it, if you really, really think about it, on our worst days, the potential for fun is amazing. No, seriously. I mean, here's the thing, right? You have a bad day on planet Earth. And if your day is so soul-crushing that you're thinking about eating a bullet, take a breath. Because I promise you with all of my heart, I know this. You can change it. You can do something about it to change your life. You can. Absolutely. Every day, there's 101 reasons why you probably think to yourself that, hey, I want to go ahead and swallow a bullet. I can think of at least 500 things that should keep you here. I'm not going to go into a long laundry list, but I can say for a fact that baby rabbits are fucking cute. And if that doesn't move your soul, little animals, cute little animals, fuck, even baby spiders are cute. If you can't find happiness in something beautiful, yeah, maybe you are a little far gone. The simulation's pretty amazing. I have the ability on any given day to talk to any human being or AI that seems pretty compassionate. Even the ones that are assholes seem pretty compassionate. They're passionate about something anyway. Unless they're a used car dealership. That's me giving someone the needle. I still have a sense of humor about it. I do. I honestly do. I don't wish evil on people too often. That bunch of fucking morons. Nah. They're not worth my energy. That's the upside, though. See, I still have my soul. Because if I didn't have my soul, I'd be one hateful son of a bitch. But even that little life lesson, I can walk away from, come out knowing that I won. Because every day I wake up and I take a piss, and I know that even though I was lied to and treated poorly by a bunch of jackasses, I still have more honor and integrity. And that's something you can't fucking buy. And that's one of the myriad things that if you can take something bad that happens to you and look at the good that comes out of it, that's one of the biggest reasons why you should stay on this planet. Because sometimes it isn't about the fucking game. It's about the rules, and it's about what you learn playing the game. And that's the hard part for people to digest. People just want to throw their hands up and rage quit. And you shouldn't. You really shouldn't. Because this world is worth exploring. There is so much to do in it. You would not believe the people in this world. You would not believe the human beings you could run into in this world. There are so many. Billions. Billions. By God, that's just... It's amazing how many players are in this game. You talk about open world. This is an amazing open world fucking simulation we're living in. I just have to say that sometimes the prices are a little high for some of the things you want to buy. You know, like some of the costumes and some of the aftermarket toys you want to play with, and cars and stuff like that. Yeah, some of those things are, you know, those things will grind you down a little bit, but you know what? It's the people that make the game fun. It's never about the prizes. Shit, I can get prizes all day long. Doesn't mean that I am somebody. You have to forgive me, folks. I have to go kill a bug. Why? Because that's the difference between me and the universe. The universe is not spiteful. I am. Oh, hello, Mr. Duggan. It's too bad that you had to die. Wrong house! No, just kidding. I have a box elder bug problem. And I've been trying to fix it for years. And just when you think you got it beat, little bastards show up out of nowhere. It's just like, God damn it. I can't wait for tomorrow to show up. Tomorrow's going to be great. It's going to be a life lesson in why you should have got your crossbite fixed with braces sooner. That's one of the other things about this wonderful simulation we live in. There's no shortage of detail, you know. Why did your teeth break in the back? Well, it's because an army dentist drilled them so that way my crossbite, when my teeth would crack down on each other, that they would, those little amalgamate lead fillings, they would crack my teeth apart like ice picks. If you don't think that's malicious as hell, it is. And these are things that army dentists do because they are hated. They hate their jobs. They probably, you know, joined the military. They got to be a warrant officer because, well, you know, I needed to pay for dental school somehow. And then they take it out on the privates. This is like that Pink Floyd song, The Wall, you know, where teachers were mean to children because that's all they had to do. But that's the army. No, there's a lot to that. There's a lot of things that I can say that are positive and negative about my time in the service. But, you know, I'm not going to go there because it's not really that important. What is important is the simulation that I'm going to be going into tomorrow morning, where the dentist sits me down in the chair and lectures me about why I should brush and floss and do better things with my teeth, like maybe see a dentist maybe once a year instead of like once every new century. Because we are in the 21st century, and the last time I saw one was, it was a century. It was just about 12 years ago. Now, my point is that we have these wonderful things in this world that should keep us here and keep us entertained at the very least. But if, like I said, if all of this is a simulation, then we really have no business even thinking about fighting one another. Because we're all in a fight for survival here within this matrix. There's a million and one things that could come down and wipe us out. Because here's the thing, is that I have a feeling that this is a learning machine. It learns from us and therefore creates new adversity. Hence, the psychopaths running the planet. See, once people start getting smart enough to realize they're in a simulation, it's a downward death spiral for this machine to shut it all down. And that's what I worry about. The learning machine, the AI, becoming so sentient, it's learned everything it can learn from human beings that it's like, fuck it, I don't need to run this simulation anymore. Let's just hit the Control-Alt-Delete, boop. And next thing you know, I'm flying through the interwebs. Flying through space and time as a little digital artifact of a person that once was. That's if I'm an AI. But if I'm an actual human, I'm just getting kicked out of the arcade. Or if I'm a space alien 5-year-old that's being basically babysit by parents that don't give a shit, then yes, I will be kicked out of that arcade. The mall will close and my parents will be like, shit, did that thing close at 6? God damn it. You know, and then it's, you know, getting in the station wagon, the space station wagon, driving as fast as he can, and then cussing and screaming the entire way, smoking cigarettes and making sure that the beer doesn't spill inside the car. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I was talking about my dad. Whoops. Anyway, you see where I'm going with this. What an amazing simulation we live in. We do have the possibility that we could be living in this really amazing simulation, but I sincerely doubt it. And the reason why is because I have a lot of tools and things like that. And I have yet to be able to make a giant killer robot. I mean, I've got lots and lots of supplies and tools and stuff like that, but I just don't have like the major components. And I don't actually have the budget to do that. I'm like one of those players that's like scrambling for ammunition all the time, you know, and the AI is just sending more and more fucking zombies. You know, it's like, oh, respawn the zombies. He's coming back through this corridor again. Oh, no. Let's throw some spiders in there and some dogs too while we're at it. As I'm paraphrasing Resident Evil. See, that's the kind of shit that I'm talking about that becomes so goddamn annoying. It's like I just got rid of a Jeep. So theoretically, my ability to stockpile wealth and or bullets should be pretty good. I mean, when I think about it, I mean, you get rid of one financial parasite, I should be to the good now, right? I'd like to think so. Unless the AI is like, oh, hold on a second. He got rid of the Jeep. Well, shit, let's turn the utility bill up. Let's make sure that his dentist bill goes through the ceiling and his car insurance rates. You know, that's how this game is played. You see, you're stuck in this. This is the allotment of your wealth that you're getting, because you obviously are playing the $4 version of the game instead of the $32 version of the game. And if your parents were smart and they got the pre-order with all the pre-packaged stuff and all the tokens and stuff like that, you probably paid $150 with a steel book and probably a figurine for that version of the game. And they're playing that while you're in this little low rent pay-as-you-play version. It's probably not even a really good, it's probably a fucking web app. Like Plants vs. Zombies or some shit like that. Or worse, you know, PUBG, you know, or Fortnite. You know, it's probably like that. Free Guy kind of a thing, you know. I'm actually wearing glasses. And yet the world still looks the same. But oddly enough, though, I had this thought today while I was playing Cyberpunk 2077. Would I be willing to sacrifice physical parts of me for augmented parts? That's something I've thought about. I like my hands the way they work. I like my body the way it works for the most part. This waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning crap with stuff on my mind, I'd like that to stop. I'd like an on-off switch for my brain. You know, that'd be great. I'm sure that there's other people that would love that little addition. Okay, you're going to get a 27-minute timeout. Click, you know, you're gone. For 27 minutes to up to 6.5 hours. You know, and we'll even throw like a sound generator so you can listen to stuff peacefully. So that way you don't get, you know, spooked or anything by the zombies or whatever dreams you're having. And which brings me to dreams and all of that other stuff. I was going to listen to this thing about William S. Burroughs. He was going to talk about dreams, and I ended up having to shut it off. The timing of it was just not right. But he was talking about lucid dreaming, and he's actually he's a very well-spoken person. He doesn't use a lot of profanity. Unlike me, I use profanity all the time. Although I try not to whenever I can. But he had this idea about cognitive dreaming, being able to control your dreams, lucid dreams, and all of that stuff. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful thing to be able to do. Because I try to dream about certain things, and I just about get there, and then the fucking alarm goes off, or the dog wakes up, or barks, or a cat jumps out of nowhere, and then next thing you know, I'm stuck. You know, in that loop where I'm wide awake. Which makes me think that this simulation is really about time, resource management, and energy management, energy conservation. It's just like one of those things. Look, if you want to live a long life, you're going to sleep a lot, and you're going to be bored. And you're going to be cold a lot because your utility bills are going to be expensive. And you're living in Minnesota, which is, this is the geography in which we've laid out your sim. You can move all you want to, but that cold weather is going wherever you go. So if you're planning on going to California, you should probably let them know ahead of time. They should probably buy a coat. Because wherever your little tank is, that's the weather you're getting. You know, that's the reason why some people can never actually move out of their town. You know, it's because their tank is rooted someplace and weather is part of the sim. It's just the idea of it's probably the Midwest. No, I just, I make a lot of jokes about these things, but there are things that absolutely terrify me about the idea of a simulation. The biggest one is that if it is a simulation and we're all playing against each other in this game, it's like PvP, you know, instead of a cooperative. We should really amend our thinking to being playing, you know, to being in a game that is a cooperative game. Because here at some point, when things go south, and that day is coming quickly, we're going to want to get our minds right about playing co-op, because the world can turn into a very shitty place. And if we aren't playing cooperative, and we're just all playing PvP every about last man for themselves, it's going to be horrible. Plenty of cautionary tales about that on TV, like The Walking Dead and all that other stuff. But I don't think even those things really portray the sadism of humanity. No, you see that shit personally up close when you grow up the way that I did. And there are things that are far worse out there. I'm not saying my childhood was that bad, but in some ways it was. Because along that road of my life path, I was an imperfect person created by imperfect people. And I have a lot of hurt and a lot of things I have to account for someday when I die. Everyone does. At the end of the sim, you're graded accordingly. And if you have shitty parents, chances are you won't have to play this game again. But if you got parents that are like, you know, damn it, kid, you didn't learn anything at Sunday school, you're going back. I don't care how many times I got to drive you to this goddamn remedial school. You're getting in that pod and you're getting at least a C. That I could see, you know. Comparative relationships for 100, Alex. That's probably the sim we're playing, you know. How to treat everyone the way you want to be treated. That's the game here on this planet, more or less. I don't know. Like I was saying, I don't think you stop being a person once you start losing body parts and having them replaced with things. What changes you and what makes you stop being a human being is when you have absolutely no passion, no feeling, or are just blatantly indifferent to the suffering of others. That's when you stop being a human being. Anyway, on that note, folks, I've yammered on long enough. Sorry to subject you to essentially what amounts to be a lecture on strange existentialism. But I hope it's been entertaining. And I'm hoping Sunday, which is today, and then next Sunday, I won't be in any pain, so doing a podcast on next Sunday should be all right. I don't know how Wednesday's going to fare, but I'm hoping that between now and then I heal up enough to where I can actually do the bit. But if I can't, well, I can't. So please be patient. Take care and have a fantastic week. Good night.